This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
This is Carmen Amoros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe, a program featuring interviews with public figures, celebrities, writers, authors, artists, playwrights, counselors, lecturers, as well as independent artists and musicians, all here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. István Várdai, the 29-year-old Hungarian cellist, was honored with several prestigious international prizes. In 2008, he won the 63rd Geneva International Music Competition and additional special prizes as well, Audience Prize, Pierre Fournier Prize, and the Coupe de Cour Brigitte Prize. He also took the prize of the International Tchaikovsky Music Competition in Moscow in 2007. In 2006, he was awarded with the special prize of the Emanuel Fermin Cello Competition at the Kronberg Academy and received the first prize at the 13th International Brahms Competition in Austria. He was winner of the David Popper International Music Competition three times, in 2000, 2003, and 2004. In 2014, he won the Art Cello Competition in Munich. Since his debut concert in 1997 in The Hague, he has performed in New York, London, Paris, Prague, Vienna, Frankfurt, Munich, Geneva, Dublin, Moscow, St. Petersburg, Florence, Tokyo, Kobe, and Beijing. Along his starting career, he played the world-famous musicians in orchestra, Mikhail Orchestra, the Mariinsky Theater Orchestra, Geneva Chamber Orchestra, the Russian National Orchestra, the Franz Liszt Chamber Orchestra, the Irish Chamber Orchestra, Swiss Romande Orchestra, the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra. He has been invited to Santander Festival, the Gergiev Festival in St. Petersburg, the Pablo Casals Festival in Spain, Festival of Radio France, Bellerive Festival in Switzerland, Schleswig-Holstein Music Festival, Verveer Festival, Warcork Chamber Music Festival, and the Schwetzingen Festival, and the Budapest Spring Festival. In 2010, he made his debut, among others, in Carnegie Hall and the Wiener Concertus, and performed with Gideon Kremer, Anders Schiff, and Yuri Bashmet in the frame of Chamber Music Connects the World at Kronberg Academy. With 14 awards and performing in 15 countries, Várdai works together with Krzysztof Baráti, artistic director of Kaposfest, Hungary's leading chamber music festival. He also plays a Montagna cello from 1720. Please join me in welcoming cellist István Várdai to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
István Várdai, how are you? It's so lovely to have you on my program today.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a lovely day for me. Last day in the U.S., but I'm fine. I'm a bit exhausted.
I can only imagine. I know you're from Hungary. How did you become interested in playing the cello, and what was the first music that you played?
Well, I was born in the south of Hungary. I mean, Hungary is small itself, so it's only 10 million mm-hmm. people living there. And I was born in Pécs. It's called Pécs. It's quite an international little city. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. This is where I started to play the cello when I was 8. And I played basically in the beginning, you know, just very, very easy stuff, just to get to know the instrument and the positions on the instrument. I had a very good teacher who told me we should play games on the instrument and make basically only noises in the beginning, just to get to know it. And then I later, like after 1 year, I could really start to play some nice songs, folk songs, and the very basic things. But I heard a lot of music at home because my parents are musicians too, and my mother is a pianist, and she accompanied in a music school and high school and university as well. So all mm-hmm. different kind of instruments, from trombone, singers, violinists. So I heard everything after being in the kindergarten. She took me always there. Nice. So I had a lot of musical impression before.
It sounds like it was so much fun, your life in a musical family. Was it really a lot of fun?
Yeah, well, it was music. Music is, was part of everyday life, and if it's something mm-hmm. is part of everyday, you feel it like natural. It's like part of your life, and music itself, absolutely, it's fun. So, but because it's so connected to me, I would turn it this way that I can't imagine that I could live without music.
It shows in your performances. I was watching you do Mendelssohn and some of the Handel, and I saw you do some Schumann and Bach, and you're phenomenal. What was your first music that you played? Do you remember?
I can't really remember.
No.
I can't remember. No, there are so many pieces, so many little pieces I really? Played, like 50, 60 at least. Mm. And then I learned the main repertoire and the bigger pieces and the famous pieces. So I learned something like 20 concertos and God knows how many etudes and caprices and smaller pieces and like 20, 30 sonatas. So I think I have something like 15 hours of music at least in my head, even more. So
that's
amazing. Difficult to say what was the first one.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
What I remember very well, actually, but this was already after 2 years, I got a score from my teacher with the Bach cello suite. Mm-hmm. And I think the first preludium of the G major suite was the first really, you know, like established great piece, what I could start to mm-hmm. learn.
Who were your first mentors or your favorite composers? Who were these people that inspired you?
I think... it's very difficult to say who's my favorite, like favorite. For me, this is a little bit like a puzzle, also with the mentors. Everyone who I was admiring as a composer or as a performer had something of which other composers or other performers didn't have. So I try to make for me a big picture by little pieces. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And, for example, like Bach has something very, very universal for me. It's like, mm-hmm. like, and very pure. And then Beethoven is I can admire him for being so humanistic and his writing mm-hmm. so humanistic music. And then, of course, there is Haydn, who was a master of balance, and Mozart, and Brahms, who was, Brahms and Schumann, both were very warm-hearted mm-hmm. and very romantic composers, and mm-hmm. Dvorak with the inspiration of these folk melodies in his pieces mm-hmm. and his wonderful melodies, what he could write.
Yes.
And from performers, my landsman, so to say, Janos Starker, who was teaching in Bloomington, he was one of my idols, and Yo-Yo Ma and Mstislav Rostropovich from, so to say, from the Russian school, and of course Pablo Casals, who
lived in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and he's the grandfather of basically of all of us, Pablo Casals, because he made the cello to be a solo instrument, mm-hmm. more or less. He made wonderful recordings, and he took the Bach suites again into the main repertoire.
Even though he left Spain, and he took up residence in Puerto Rico, where I'm from. Still, they still play great homage to him. They have a huge festival that I think you played in that festival too, right?
I played I played in Spain, close to Barcelona. Mm-hmm. There, he had also residency there, and mm-hmm. There is a small festival named by him. But the big Pablo Casals festival is in Puerto Rico. You're right.
Wow.
I haven't played there yet, unfortunately. I hope.
Well, when you're there, let me know. I'll fly there with my husband, and we'll take your program in, okay?
Sure.
There was a man named István Várdai also, who, just like you, who was an archbishop and cardinal priest back in 1467. Is your family related to him in any way, maybe through any brothers or sisters that he might have had?
Well, I don't think so, no.
But, okay.
But the funny thing is that this archbishop changed his name to Várdai, as far as I know, because I made a little research. Before he was called Weissmann or something like this, and my family also changed the name to Várdai.
Wow.
But my family name was Welzenbach. My grandfather came through Maria Theresia, and the family of my grandfather came to Hungary from Germany. So it's probably this Várdai is a common
name
to change to.
I see. Do you know what it means? Does it have a meaning?
It's very simple. It means the family is from city Varda, because there is a city called Varda, and E at the end in Hungarian means it's from.
Thank you for enlightening me. My husband loves the cello. What about the cello should make people want to stop and listen? I know it makes me stop. What do you think most people get out of it when they hear the cello being played?
Well, I think what could touch anyone instantly is that the cello have a very human voice. So it have the voice range of a deep bass singer to the very high soprano, in all in one. And I think it's just something with the resonance in it.
Yes, the warmth.
Yeah, the warmth.
It's mellow and warm and sweet at the same time.
Yes, and it can be also very powerful and also very strong. So they have a huge variety. I can basically feel it every day on my body, because when I play the instrument, it's attached to my body. I hold it between my knees, and it's laying on my chest. So I basically feel all the resonance, and it goes into my body. And this was what I was basically addicted to when I was young, and this is what I needed every day to feel this, because it will be like part of your body, and goes through your body, and in general, playing music and playing a musical instrument, it makes a lot of change in your brain and in your mind and in your soul. So I think if someone just listens to, let's say, the Bach cello suite, or listen to Brahms E minor sonata, or to the Dvorak cello concerto, and if someone really listens very carefully and open their ears and try to switch off everything else around, then this music can bring into a very, very peaceful and great place.
Mm-hmm. You're only 29 years old. You have won over 14 awards. You have performed in 15 countries, and you've done all of these marvelous, marvelous things. Plus, you have 3 wonderful recordings, and you have all of this in your pocket, including the fact that you also teach at Cromberg Academy, and you now are performing. When did you actually start performing, if I may ask? And then I'm going to proceed to asking you about Carnegie Hall last night, because I know you were at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, well, first performance was probably at home, you know, for like friends when I was something like 12. But the first official performance concert was in Hague, in the Netherlands, when I was 13, and of course before, with the little competitions, like national competitions for music school. This was when I was 11. Actually, this is what I think this counts for, the first like big the performance or concert. And then it just got part of my life, and you told me now this this whole bunch of cities and places and awards. I mean, of course I remember everything, but just like feels a little bit like natural because this was like so so much part of my life, and I just do what I have to do and what I love to do, and if I see the audience happy and attached and smiling, then I'm happy wherever I am in the world.
So that's what's important, find that joy in what you're doing, because it will clearly reflect in what you do, and of course you project that onto the people listening.
And also the listeners project something very, very good back to me. So it's like if I have a good audience, which I usually have, I'm lucky to have very good listeners, then it's like a dialogue. It's not like a monologue. So it's like speaking with someone, sharing with someone energy, information, and then the audience projects it back.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
So what was last night at Carnegie Hall like while you were up there on that stage playing?
Well, it was great. it was fantastic. Actually, I wasn't even so nervous that what I was expecting that I will be, because it's such a great hall and it has fantastic acoustics. Of course, before I was in my room and I was walking up and down, and then suddenly the moment came, like I was asking myself, why? You are just not happy. You should be just happy. You are playing in a Carnegie Hall. Why are you so nervous? and then, you know, I ate my chocolate, what I usually eat before the concert, to have some sugar, and I went down and I saw the crowd of people, and it was almost full. The Carnegie Hall, it's 2,000 people were there at least, and.
Yeah.
Went out, and this great orchestra, American Symphony Orchestra, I could play with, and they loved me, and they supported me, and we started this Rubinstein cello concerto, which I play now for the second time in my whole life, because I learned this piece only for the Carnegie, because they asked me to play it, because it wasn't really played yet. And it's a very nice melodic piece, a little bit like Tchaikovsky or Rachmaninoff. It went very well, and the audience was great. They didn't cough too much, and they take attention. They were with me in the piece, so it was definitely an exchange of energy.
You have played with many symphonies, and you play a Montagnana cello from 1720. That's an almost 296-year-old cello. Do you ever worry that it might fall apart during a performance?
No, it's
strong.
It's not going to fall apart. No, these instruments are like... I like unbelievable Stradivari, Montagnana, Gofriller, and all these instruments. That's why they are so unbelievably expensive and so rare, because they have a construction which will last at least 400-500 years. So they are really like Michelangelo, or like a Raffaello painting, or something, you know, what you don't know why it's so good, but it just really, really unique. And I got the chance to play on this cello after winning my last competition in Germany. It's an international competition, and the collector told me that I really need a very good instrument, so I can play this now. Unlimited, and I can keep it for the next, I hope, 20-30 years. So I'm very happy with it.
It's your property?
No, definitely not. Not it, it, it like it costs millions of dollars.
Millions, millions,
So
yes.
I couldn't afford, no. No, but
Maybe one
I
day you will.
yeah, maybe. Who knows? Yeah. For example, Joshua Bell, the famous American violinist, he paid back now his Stradivarius. He bought the Stradivarius on credit. And I think in 15 years, I mean, he was playing like 150 concerts a year, so, but in 15 years he could pay it back. So he owns
Nice.
Stradivarius, yeah.
Very nice. You have worked with violinists Halvorsen Passacaglia and Christoph Baradi playing Handel 4 years ago, and I was curled up with a cup of hot cocoa one cold night listening to you both perform that beautiful Handel piece. How did you enter into that collaboration?
This piece, what you speak about, it's the original theme is by Handel, and there is an arrangement for violin and cello by Halvorsen. So he was also recomposing it, and I played this piece. I played it so many times with my friend Krzysztof Baráti, who is a Hungarian violinist. And we are quite connected. We are very good friends, and we know each other since years. And this piece is one of the best written for violin and cello, and it's a very popular piece. And we enjoyed it to play it in so many places. We played it even in Spain in a pub, and on festivals and here and there. So we basically just wanted to play together, and the repertoire for cello and violin is a little bit limited, so not so many pieces, maybe 10 pieces, but this is certainly one of the best of them. So this is how we get to play it.
It seems that you're both bound by the piece because of the way that you're playing it. It's you could see that there's a synergy between the two of you. And I know you've played composers such as Schumann, Dvorak, Mendelssohn, Brahms, Handel, and all that. And you have three recordings, one of Tchaikovsky, which is one of my favorite classical composers. Do you see yourself doing popular music on cello in the near future? Maybe you plan to team up with some pop musicians? Andrea Bocelli does his thing sometimes with pop singers. You're a very young guy. You're 29 or.
I just turned 30 one month ago.
You just turned 30. Oh my, you still look 28. So, you're still young. Do you ever see yourself playing anything a little on the pop side for,
Well, you never know.
crossover?
I mean, you never know. When I was in the university, we were jamming quite a lot with friends, and I have classmates who actually went into this crossover pop direction. If you ever heard about the two cellos, this is how we call they call themselves. These two cellos, it's Luka Sulic and Stepan Hauser. They are very famous of doing rearrangements of Michael Jackson and different pop songs, and they were touring with Elton John, and they are very, very good in this.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
I think I'm more the type who will one day will compose and we will make some and write some music for cello, and maybe it will be on the popular side of some of the pieces. And I was experimenting also with electric cello and with loopers and stuff like that. And it's a challenge to mm-hmm. write something good, which is not also not not too much pop, because I certainly believe in that kind of classical values, I try to keep it. But of course, I would love to write something which is easy to listen to and still have the depth.
Yes.
You know what I mean, yeah.
Being the type of person that you are, like you say, you hold the classical values. There's no doubt that you can probably take modern music and make it sound classical on the cello. I have a friend who's a classical pianist, and he does this with music, with modern music. He'll take the classical and he makes it contemporary. But I would imagine that you could probably reverse it and make modern music sound classical. Hey, you never know, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Wow. So I'm looking forward to getting your other two CDs. I have one, and I would love to have all of them. Where can people find you on the internet?
I will have a homepage very soon. It will be istvanvardai.com, and then there will be everything listed. It's almost done. I just need to fill up some more information about the new CDs and things like this. But basically, I mean, on YouTube, you can listen to many things. I will also upload some things on YouTube from my very new CD. I recorded that it's called Singing Cello, and there are songs from different composers, and I even made an arrangement from songs to play it on cello. So everything will be on istvanvardai.com. I think in the new year you will find it already. So it in 1 month. But I'm also on Facebook, and if you just Google my name, there are lot of things coming up.
The holiday season is upon us. Do you have any advice you'd like to share with people about dreams, possibilities, people who are interested in music, who would like to do the same thing you do? Do you have any advice for them?
It's just difficult to express how big the importance is to play any instrument. And I can't tell how much it can change in someone's life if he or she starts to play an instrument or starts to listen to good music, because it's just a whole new universe. And it's so personal. And today, everything gets a little bit so unpersonal. You see so many ads and everybody wants to sell something. This whole world getting... It's everything a little bit on the surface, you know. It's not really getting in the depth. And working with music and working with an instrument, it's a little bit like a meditation. It's not depends how good you are on the instrument, but to working on it makes you a better person, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. István, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on my program. I cannot wait to, talk with you again one day, maybe when you're in New York, you're doing a concert before the concert, so we could tell your audience that you're going to be there.
Yeah, that'd be great. Next November.
Yes, okay. I'm looking forward to it. It's a whole year away, but it goes fast. We're going to be there in the audience for you with a bunch of people.
That'd be great.
I do look forward to continued contact with you throughout the year so that we know what you're doing and where you're playing, and we can make posts out of our community on Facebook to our people.
Oh, great. Great. Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
You're welcome.
For you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, too.
All the best. Bye.
Yeah, all the best. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to an interview with the world-famous award-winning cellist István Vardai on the New York Podcasting Cafe. Come like our New York Podcasting Cafe radio page or join us at the New York Podcasting Cafe global community for discussions and updates about future episodes.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Conan Amoros.